Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a busy Thursday. Yes, it is live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, Alex Curry is, as always, more than capably filling in today for Joy Taylor, who's on Speak for Yourself. Alex, also a resident of Manhattan Beach. Much longer than me. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Happy to be back with you today.
It's great to have you back.
We
love having you on the show. Baseball season, Alex, for years and years has done so much great baseball work. Baseball season's around the corner. I'm reading that stuff on Twitter today.
It's here. I mean, spring training is underway. It's different, but it's happening.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Heard yesterday Dodgers are going to have 10,000 to 14,000 people at games, according to our governor, pretty quick.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for all you baseball fans out there, and I agree. There needs to be fans at games. So I am going to play a character today. I'm going to be Dak Prescott's agent. And I'm going to sit down with Dak Prescott. And we're going to have a discussion. So here you go. All right, Dak, I know you want long-term security, but just hear me out. When I was a little kid, my mom and dad used to yell and scream. They fought a lot. And the design of our house, I heard almost all of it. Even one time, my mom threw a ring at my dad and it bounced down the stairs. So when they got a divorce, initially I was scared. But then I realized my stepdad and my mom never yelled. He became my little league coach. And the house was quiet again. And it wasn't as scary. Divorces are often seen as a bad thing, but sometimes it's a more comfortable landing. Dak, I want you to think about this. What's the recipe for Super Bowls? An A coach and a top general manager. It's what Brady had this last year in Tampa. What Brady had for years in New England. It's what Peyton Manning had. Ben Roethlisberger in his prime. Dak, if you sign a long-term deal, your coach is Mike McCarthy and your general manager is your 77-year-old owner. But Dak, I want to take it a step further. I know you view the franchise tag as a bad thing. And I know you think to yourself, what if I go to market? It'll probably be to these awful teams, because that's the way it is every year, right, Dak? The teams that need quarterbacks, it's always like Jacksonville and Detroit, Cincinnati. But Dak, in 1 year from today, something strange is happening. These three teams have not resolved their quarterback issue and likely won't by next year. The Saints, the Patriots, and the 49ers, Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, and Kyle Shanahan. Unless Garoppolo gets traded in the next few weeks, they'll be looking for a quarterback in a year. Cam's probably coming back to New England. There's a story today. The Patriots don't like the free agent options, and they're too deep in the draft to get one of the top three quarterbacks. And the Saints, we all know they've got no cap space. And Dak, not only those three, but there's another four to five teams with great rosters that they may need a quarterback in 2022. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Denver, Miami, Chicago. Miami doesn't have a great roster. It's good. With one more draft, it'll be great. And let me throw this at you, Dak. You made 31.4 last year with a franchise. You'd make 37.1 this year with it. That would be $69 million. Then you'd hit the market. And Dak, never forget, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL the last 6 years, guaranteed cash money. It's not Brady, it's not Rodgers, not Russell Wilson. It's Kirk Cousins, $192 million. That's a lot of lettuce. He played tag and won. In fact, he played it twice. So, Dak, think about that. what's a Super Bowl recipe, and what and who needs a quarterback in 1 year. For the first time as an agent in my life, it's not the bad teams. The bad teams over the last 2 years have all gotten quarterbacks in an emerging quarterback college market. Also remember, Dak, as your agent, this year's a great crop of quarterbacks out of college. Next year is predicted to be the weakest in a decade. More leverage for you. And Kirk Cousins talked to Dak not that long ago about being franchise tagged.
Well, the only piece I've said to him in crossing his path, going back maybe a couple off seasons, was just to make the point that the franchise tag can be your friend. You know, it can be a help to you if that's the route you choose to go. You know, he played on the franchise tag this past year. I think he's in a great spot now. Everybody knows he can play, that he's an elite quarterback. And, you know, really the ball is more in the court of the Cowboys and what they want to do going forward. But I think it's a no-brainer that Dak's the real deal and is going to have a great career moving forward. And, you know, he's in a really good spot.
As your agent, Dak, strongly consider a one-year deal and going to market next year. All right, this is interesting. It continues to be a drama that won't go away, but it's a new drama. Unlike Dak's contract, it's Russell Wilson. Mike Silver, who comes on this show, very good NFL reporter, says the Seahawks are willing to listen to trade offers for Russell Wilson. It would be a massive cap hit. I don't think it would happen. But the Seahawks, according to Silver, are upset that Russell Wilson has taken it public. Yes, I can understand why. After 9 years of always saying go Hawks, Russell Wilson finally has an opinion and Seattle doesn't like it. It's funny, for years the Packers put up with Favre, and for years the Steelers have put up with the drama induced by Ben Roethlisberger. For a month, Russell Wilson's been a pain in the butt. I think it's time for Pete Carroll to get thicker skin. Be that as it may, I thought about this morning. By the way, I love millennials. Love young peeps. Love them. And you know, I've been in the business 30 years. But I do see, and I think there's more talent than ever in my business, but I do see something occasionally from millennials. So if I can, let me offer this. Sometimes, nobody's going to apologize to you. You've got to deal with crap. Sometimes there's no resolution for problems. I know your mom told you people are nice, but sometimes they're not. And sometimes you got to work with them. And you can rush to Twitter and Instagram and demand an apology, but mostly it's false. If they really cared, they would have apologized earlier, and it's a false apology. They're playing you. Deal with it. There is not always resolution for all your little problems. If I own the Seahawks, I'd say, just play. Who cares if you don't like each other? Kobe and Phil had moments they hated each other. Belichick and Brady had tension for 10 years. Didn't they? You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bill Parcells and Phil Sims, that was never comfortable. Who says you have to be best friends? Bruce Arians and Brady squabbled until Thanksgiving last year. There's this sense in America that everything has to be resolved. And you're owed an apology. And you cannot have tension in a relationship. My wife and I have tension all the time. Then we get over it. She goes, hangs out with her friends. I go hang out with mine. We avoid each other for a day. That's life. Who says there's any guarantee when you get married you don't have a bad weekend or a bad month? Are you going to break up every time you fight? This idea that Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll have to live in harmony, that is so 2021. It's not the way the world works. It's never been the way the world works. Michael Jordan didn't get along for his entire career in Chicago with his general manager. He often fought with Pippen. Rodman drove him crazy. So, Kobe and Shaq didn't always get along. Not to be best friends. Brady acknowledged. I thought this was kind of amazing. Do you know Brady and Belichick in 20 years never went to dinner once? Isn't that crazy? Crazy. So what? They won like 7 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowls. Who cares? Russell and Pete. We're going to have tension for a year. If I own the Seahawks, I'd say, listen, I love you both. Just let it play out. Sometimes, by the way, problems sort of disappear. You go on a 6-game winning streak, suddenly you like each other again. You get a raise. She gets a raise at work. She comes home and buys you a gift. Suddenly you like each other again. You have a great night out, cocktails, music, go to a lounge. Well, you're over it. Tension's okay. You're not always going to get an apology. Life's not always simple. There's tension all the time in your life and my life. Sometimes, work your way through it. I'm not trading Russell Wilson. I also don't want to fire Pete Carroll. You kids go work it out on the side. Get ready for the season.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, said yesterday, I'm taking calls on Sam Darnold. So they put the house up for sale, and we know which house. Not the pick, but Sam. That's good news for Sam because three or four teams that need a quarterback are New England, San Francisco's interested, Washington and Chicago were playoff teams. So sometimes you get lucky. The bad teams are going to draft a quarterback, and some good teams, playoff teams, or close to it, are probably in the Darnold sweepstakes. So that's good for Sam Darnold. This is going to be a win for Sam Darnold. I mean, there are years when it's only bad teams that need quarterbacks. The bad teams, you know, Jets are now going to take a quarterback. Jags are going to take a quarterback. Carolina's probably going to move up and take a quarterback. Philadelphia, which now classifies as a bad team, they may take a quarterback. But the Niners, Washington, Chicago, those are good rosters. New England's going to be very good next year, at least defensively. If they could add, like, a free agent wide receiver, you got a team. So, here's the scary part if you're the Jets drafting Zach Wilson. Regardless of what you think of him, I'm not a scout. I think he's a little overstated, a little skinny for me, couldn't beat good teams in college. Regardless, if you go back the last 10 to 15 years, there's a pattern. The first two quarterbacks taken, one of them doesn't work. Almost always. Last year, Burrow and Tua. Burrow is going to be really good. Miami's already got issues with Tua. Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones. Kyler's a star. Daniel Jones on the fence. They could bail on him by Thanksgiving this year. Baker and Darnold. Baker's won a playoff game. Darnold is a reclamation project. Trubisky, Mahomes, enough said. Goff and Wentz, neither's a bust, but you're paying both a lot, and neither one probably right now is worth the lettuce. Jameis Winston, Mariota, neither a star. Jameis really did. In the end, felt like a bust. Bortles, Manziel. Bortles got to a playoff. Johnny was out of the league in a couple. EJ Manuel, only quarterback drafted in 2013, bust. Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin, star bust. Cam Jake Locker, star bust. Bradford Tebow, successful bust. Stafford Sanchez, pretty good, not very good. This is the reality of the NFL. And in every instance that I can recall, this is what happens. Because I believe Trevor Lawrence is a prodigy. I believe Zach Wilson is a project. I believe you get child prodigies, Bryce Harper. You get him in music. You get him in entertainment. And when I say child, I'm talking 15 to 19 years old. You're just different than everybody. Trevor Lawrence, as a freshman, Nick Saban had 6 weeks to prepare and could not stop him. As a freshman. Zach Wilson didn't play well until this past year. He wasn't very good as a freshman and sophomore. One is a quarterback prospect. One's a prodigy. LeBron was a prodigy. Bryce Harper's a prodigy. You see him in music, entertainment all the time. Not all the time, but you see him. And what you see, and this happens a lot, and I'm starting to hear it. A month or two before the draft, people start saying stuff like this. RG3 is actually better than Andrew Luck. Zach Wilson is actually better than Trevor Lawrence. Of course, this is not true. But what you do, all of a sudden people, because they've nitpicked the prodigy or the star, And with Zach Wilson, it's more about, well, he's better than we thought. People start claiming the two is better than the one. I saw that with Andrew Luck and RG3. I am seeing that now with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So history tells you Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to go 1-2. One of them ain't going to work. And by the way, you tell me the last time a Jets quarterback truly worked. Joe Namath.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I was thinking about the Raiders. There's two ways to look at the Raiders. Here's the cynical way to look at Gruden and the Raiders. You know how we play the blind resume game for quarterbacks? Let's play the blind resume game for John Gruden. For our radio audience, we're going to consider a couple things. So John Gruden on the left has won 51% of his games. The person who is unidentified on the right has won 51% of his games. Playoff winning percentages, Gruden 55, guy on the right 50. Who is it? Anthony Lynn just got fired. All right, let's do it again. Blind resume. John Gruden against question mark. So this next coach has a better winning percentage in his career than Gruden, a better playoff winning percentage than Gruden substantially, and he also has a Super Bowl. Who's that coach? Doug Peterson just got fired. Let's keep playing the blind resume game with Gruden. Oh, this coach has a better win percentage in his career than Gruden slightly. Now, he doesn't have nearly as good as a playoff winning percentage, but he's got four division titles to Gruden's five. Who's this coach? Oh, you all think he's a goofball, Bill O'Brien. That's one way to look at Gruden. Last 9 years, no playoff wins. His resume lines up with guys we're firing. Or there's the second way to look at Gruden. And because I was cynical going into it, I have to temper my opinions because I'm probably cynical now. But here's the good, more positive spin to look at Gruden. His first year, he won 4 games. His second year, he won 7 games. And this year, he won 8. But it's not just that he won 8. He beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. He beat playoff Cleveland in Cleveland. And they beat the Saints. And if you look at their schedule, now we know this, Gruden has also built a top 10 O-line, Derek Carr's best 2 years, superstar tight end, excellent running back. In an offensive league, their offensive personnel is outstanding. Nobody can deny that. Here's the other thing. Last year, they had a much tougher schedule. This year, they faced the AFC North and the NFC East, which is awful. So their home games this year, out of division, the Bengals at home and cruddy Philadelphia at home, and Washington doesn't have a quarterback at home, and the Dolphins don't love Tua at home. You start looking at that schedule, and today, if I made a prediction for the Raiders, it would be 9-7. So with politics and sometimes with football teams, if you're cynical going in, you're going to be cynical even if there is growth. The Raiders have gotten better every year. You got to give Gruden credit. They've got really good offensive personnel. They've gone 4-7-8, and this year, it's a pretty workable schedule. It really is. They get some teams that aren't great at quarterback at home. They could get Tua at home, Taylor Heinicke at home, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I mean, let's face it, Cincinnati doesn't win a lot of huge road games. So there you go. I'm trying to be optimistic with Gruden. I think it's reasonable to think next year, and I fill in my little predictions throughout the course of the offseason, I think the Raiders are a 9-7 team. I think that's reasonable.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, so this is the latest news. This just came down. The Seahawks in Seattle have made calls to other teams about trading away Russell Wilson.
Wow.
He is not happy in Seattle, which I know to be true. Diana Rossini tells the Pat McAfee Show, so this is so multi-layered. I think there's so many things at play here. Listen, Gisele Bündchen had a say in Tom Brady going to Florida. J.J. Watt's wife, pro athlete, had a say in J.J. Watt choosing Arizona. Not the best team, best coach, best roster. I think Ciara has a say in this. She's a big part of his life. I think Russell Wilson could retire now in terms of money, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Russell Wilson named four Chicago, Dallas, Las Vegas, New Orleans performing towns. You know, singers have careers. They're big cities. They're big brands. So, you know, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's not like the Raiders had the best team. The four teams that Russell Wilson named, it was not lost on me. It was Vegas, New Orleans, the Dallas Cowboys, and Chicago, the third biggest city in America. These are big towns, entertainers. I think Ciara has pull here. Listen, obviously Pete and Russell, you know, they both have mantras. Like Russell Wilson, if you mic him during a game, he'll say the same stuff over and over and over. Can wear people out. Pete, by the way, I've known lots of players with Pete. He wears them out. He's got the same stories over and over and over. So they're both kind of aspirational guys that have these mantras they believe in. Pete has a theory on football, and he's not budging. And Russell Wilson has a belief system that's very strong, and he's not budging. And so, you know, I think, you know, I said this at the top of the show, and I believe this. I think the world we live in today, everybody wants a resolution to any tension. And tension is part of life. And arguing is part of life. And Tom Brady and Belichick never once went to dinner. There was tension all the time. They just made it work. Tom would have stayed at the end if they had any good receivers. Brady wouldn't have left New England. Brady left New England because they had no weapons. He didn't leave New England because he suddenly hated Bill. He hated losing, and they had no players. They have no tight ends. They have no functional receivers. He didn't leave because he didn't get along with Bill. He never was great with Bill. Kobe and Phil didn't get along. Phil Simms and Parcells struggled. So this is a situation where Russell's good for Pete. And by the way, you can do a lot worse than Pete Carroll as a head coach. But Russell's, you know, he's in his 30s, different generation than Pete that's almost 70. I think we're too often in life needing apologies and resolutions and perfect fits. And that is not life. I have worked at companies before, this one and other companies, where there are executives and people that don't see eye to eye. It's very competitive. Not everybody at ESPN and Fox Sports are best friends. You know, sometimes you're fighting for the same job and the same airtime. That's the reality of it. So what? Deal with it. Not everything has to be perfect in life. So I think it's a big mistake by Pete Carroll in Seattle to move Russell Wilson. And I'm not sure it's the greatest thing for Russell Wilson. I mean, let's ask yourself this. Okay, let's say Russell goes to Dallas. Well, Mike McCarthy's not as good a coach as Pete Carroll. And John Snyder's a better GM than Jerry Jones. So is that good for him? Well, let's go to New Orleans. Well, that's the best place, but they got no cap space, and they'd have to get rid of a lot of pieces, so the Saints would not be the same team as last year. You bring in Russell's salary, you're going to have to make massive, sweeping changes. So that's not perfect. By the way, Tom Brady's all-star team is in your division twice a year. All right, he goes to Chicago. Not a very good offensive line. I'm not sure how capable the general manager Ryan Pace is. And Matt Nagy, I think, is smart. But outside of Allen Robinson, they don't have any weapons on the outside. Seattle's got better wide receiver talent and running back talent, in my opinion, than Chicago does. Seattle's got better offensive pieces than Chicago does. And you also got Aaron Rodgers twice a year in that division, and he's got more players than you. So you start, okay, let's go to Las Vegas. John Gruden, love their offensive personnel. Defense is terrible. You're in a shootout every weekend. And also, Mahomes twice a year, Justin Herbert twice a year. Pretty good division. So, you know, I will say this. Seattle has a great left tackle, Dwayne Brown, and they drafted an LSU guard last year, right guard. He's very good. They need a left guard and a corner. Other than that, you can win a lot of games in Seattle with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. But per Diana Rossini, the Seahawks have made calls to other teams about trading away Russell Wilson. He's not happy in Seattle. So, I mean, just look at all the places he named. They've all got problems. The grass is not always greener. Dallas has an owner who's GM and a coach who's meh. Las Vegas, terrible defense. And we don't know if the GM's capable at this point. Saints, it's not the same team if Russell goes there. They're going to have to move off six players. They're going to have to rebuild that. They're going to move off a Lattimore. They'd move off a corner, a pass rusher. And then you get to Chicago. Look at that offense. Tariq Cohen's clever. Allen Robinson's good. But if you bring in Russell's salary, you're going to have to move some pieces there. I think Chicago's over the cap. I could be wrong, but I think they're over the cap. So it's really interesting. Seattle's taking calls on Russell Wilson. Okay, so if Seattle trades Russell Wilson, and by the way, I don't think it's necessarily great for Russell. Seattle trades him $39 million in dead cap money. That ain't good. I mean, here's the thing. The best case scenario for the Seahawks, in my opinion, is actually the worst case scenario for Russell, because he has a no trade clause. Russell Wilson can say, I'm not going. So the best place for Seattle to trade is the Raiders, because I could get Derek Carr. So if I get Derek Carr for Russell Wilson, you know, that's a good player, and I would get multiple picks. So that's, if I'm Pete Carroll, if I can get Derek Carr and three, I don't know, what would you get? Would you get a second-round pick, two first-round picks? You're not going to get, Derek Carr can play. He's a top 12 quarterback. I think he's top 10. People think top 12. So if I get Derek Carr and two first-round picks in a second, that's pretty good. Now, maybe Seattle would go, we want Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and two firsts. That'd be really good. That's the best for Seattle, to me. That's the best for, I get a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. The best for Russell is probably, and it's not perfect, is New Orleans, where I get Sean Payton, great coach, and Mickey Loomis is a great general manager. Now, the roster won't be the same. We're going to have to make a lot of cuts. But Brady's old, Carolina's rebuilding, and Atlanta's never, you can never rely on Atlanta, though I tend to like them and lose a lot of money on them. So the best for Russell is New Orleans. But Seattle doesn't like that because they want to get him out of the NFC. So what's best for Russell is not what Seattle wants. What's best for Seattle is let's send Russell over to the AFC so we don't have to face him. And if he's in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, he's not always going to win his division. He's going to have trouble getting out of that division. So that's why it's hard to see this between the dead money. What's good for Seattle's bad for Russell. What's great for Russell's bad for Seattle. I don't think it works. I mean, $39 million in dead cap money. That'd be like you and I for a couple years having to pay two mortgages and only having one house. I mean, that's what it's like. I mean, NFL teams are like us. They have budgets. You know what you make, what you bring in, what you can pay. Can you imagine paying a second mortgage? You only get one house. That's what it's like moving off Russell Wilson. You're paying for two quarterbacks. You get one. So I just don't see it happening. I do not see it happening. But he is not happy in Seattle. It is crazy, folks. So we've seen already in the last 2 weeks, Matt Stafford traded to the Rams, which I think that's good for the Rams. Maybe not great, but good. Carson Wentz to Indy. Similarly, I think it's good for the Colts. Maybe not great, but good. Deshaun Watson is, I want out. I refuse to ever wear the Houston jersey. And Russell Wilson, his team is now calling out our teams. Wow. All I know is this, if I'm Seattle, I don't want to face Russell Wilson. I want to face him like every 5 years. You know, it's funny. One of the teams that could actually make this deal work is San Francisco. You're not doing that. You're not losing to Russell Wilson twice a year. That's not happening.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Big Ben has re-signed with the Steelers for a lower number. Seattle is now officially taking calls on Russell Wilson. And Baker Mayfield saw a UFO. Three big quarterback stories today. TJ Hushmanzada, Fox Sports NFL analyst, is now joining me live. So you actually know the Seahawks culture pretty well. Are you shocked that after Russell goes a little public, Seattle is that uncomfortable that they're making calls to trade him?
I wouldn't say I'm shocked. If you look at the history, you look at Richard Sherman, you look at Earl Thomas, Pete Carroll has pretty much had a problem with their best players. As soon as they start to speak up, as soon as they start to question him, he gets rid of them. And so Russell Wilson will be the next guy that spoke out, said something. You question Pete, you have to go. And that's what it's looking like. It makes no sense to me. You don't really see quarterbacks as good as Russell Wilson get traded, but I foresee that taking place.
What do you think it is? Just Pete has a belief system and it has to run through him? I mean, so you make a good point. I mean, Richard Sherman, he had a problem with him. Earl Thomas, he had a problem with him. Like, a lot of coaches can handle it, but just Pete doesn't do that. If you don't support Pete, you're out, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Pete is like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, really is. Like, he smiles in it, but you can't question him. And it's just really weird. And I look at it from this standpoint, Colin, is you look at the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott is a defensive coach. When he took that job, he was a defensive coach. Great defense. Run the ball. You draft Josh Allen. And then he adapted. He evolved. Dable turned this into an offense that we can win Super Bowls and go to playoff. They evolved and literally just threw the ball all over the field, the Buffalo Bills. Pete Carroll doesn't want to evolve. They have a bad game or two. Oh, we got to be a 2 yard and a cloud of dust offense. We got to start running the ball more. Pete doesn't want to evolve. He wants to be in the old days of playing football, at least offensive football. And Russell's looking at it like, look what Mahomes is doing. Look what Josh Allen is doing. Look what Jared Goff is doing in our own division. Look what Shanahan is doing in our own division. Look what Kyler Murray is doing in our own division. Why are we not playing how these guys are playing? And he's fed up.
If you were Dak Prescott's agent, I'm going to make an argument that Dak should take a franchise tag and not want to stay long-term in Dallas. And here's why. It's very hard to win in the NFL Super Bowls if you have an average coach and an average GM. Jerry Jones is the Cowboys GM and Mike McCarthy's the coach. Why not just take the franchise money, go to the market next year? By the way, the Patriots, Niners, and Saints may not have a quarterback next year. It's a bad quarterback college group next year. Why shouldn't Dak just say, pay me for a year, big money, 37 large, and let me just go to the market? Security isn't the be-all, end-all, is it, if you're Dak Prescott?
He's a quarterback. He's going to get it eventually. For me, if I'm Dak, I'm taking the franchise regardless. I'm getting to the open market next year. You take the franchise, you make $68 million in 2 years, and to me, you play the Kirk Cousins game, and you make the amount of money that Kirk Cousins has made over the last 6-7 years, and that's the way you go about it. But if you look on the flip side, you look at the NFC East, that division, it's very winnable every year. Washington, they don't have a quarterback. The Eagles, they don't have a quarterback. The Giants have a quarterback, but do they really have a quarterback? So you're looking at that division and saying any team can win this division. Dak with the Cowboys right away puts him at the forefront of that division just because he's the best quarterback in that division. But if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm planning a year on the franchise, and I'm hitting the market, and we'll see what happens.
So you played for the Cincinnati Bengals for 8 years. They have the 5th overall pick. They found their quarterback. They've got several needs. If you ran the Bengals, what – and you do all this college stuff. You're very keen on college players, developing them. You watch a lot of college football. What should your Bengals do with a 5th pick, a great pick in this draft?
One of two guys. Penei Sewell from Oregon, offensive tackle, or Rashawn Slater, the tackle from Northwestern. You have to draft one of those guys. The focus for the Bengals should be offensive line early and often in a draft. And if you can find a defensive starter up front, you do that as well. But you have to keep Joe Burrow protected, because when you look at the division, the Steelers always play defense. The Ravens always play defense. Oh, and the Browns have Myles Garrett. So you have to keep Joe Burrow upright and protected. And it starts with a front. They draft anything under than one of those two linemen, I'll be shocked.
All right. You work out with a lot of college quarterbacks and receivers. This is an excellent wide receiver draft. Is there one that's different, better than all the others in your opinion, TJ?
I mean, for me, it's obvious, but he's kind of drifted away because he opted out, is Ja'Marr Chase. If you just look at the way he played his last year in college with Burrow as a quarterback, and he was the number one receiver on that LSU team. Justin Jefferson was the number two receiver on that team. And then you see what Justin Jefferson did this year, and you'll say, oh, my God, he was the number two behind Ja'Marr Chase. So me personally, I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. He's not a very tall guy. He's probably 6 feet, but he's thick. He just has great body control, great hand-eye coordination, and ability to go up and get the ball that other guys just don't have. He just has a knack for catching the ball, getting separation. And in NFL, these guys are good. You're not going to kill guys all the time. You're going to have to make contested catches. And that's what he did best when he was the last time we seen him playing college football.
So a year ago at this time, TJ Hushmanzada, you were telling me on the air and off, Justin Herbert is going to be unbelievable. So you kept saying to me, you're saying, dude, this guy is so big, his calves, his shoulders, his arm. And you're one of the reasons Joy and I sort of bought it, you know, we liked him, and you just kept saying, trust me, I'm seeing this kid every day. He's going to be unbelievable. And as you predicted, he was unbelievable. I suspect with a new coach, offensive-minded guy, they have a history of drafting pretty well. Justin's going to keep going. So you're also now seeing some of the quarterbacks. This appears to be a pretty good quarterback draft. Is there one quarterback or a couple that you have strong feelings about in this quarterback draft?
Man, so I just got back from actually working with him this morning. And I need some more time to give you an honest answer, Colin. Like, being out there, like, Trevor Lawrence, big guy, can move, can run, can really throw it. Great person, knows how to communicate with people. But then you see Zach Wilson and you say, oh, he's not that big. And then you see him run. He runs like a skilled guy, like he's a receiver, a DB. He's that fast. And then you see him throw, and you're like, oh, wow. Ball just jumps out his hand. And then you see Justin Fields. He's huge, like not very tall. It's probably 6'3", but he's a big boy, thick, big legs, big shoulders, very accurate throwing the ball today. He can run. And so those three guys are at the top. Where they fall, if I have to give you an honest answer, I need to see more. But I was very, very impressed with the accuracy and the way the ball was coming out, all three of those guys' hands.
Hey, listen, we got five guys that are going to get drafted. You know, three of them probably do work. Let's be honest. That's usually one guy doesn't work, two or three do, and one's in the middle. And I worry about Zach Wilson's frame. He looks skinny to me. That worries me a little. You?
He's not skinny. He's just not overly tall. He's a thick guy. I would say he's about 210. And the other guy that was out there today with us, Kyle Trask, cannon, huge, big, like 6-7 years ago, Kyle Trask would probably be the first pick, prototypical quarterback, big dude, big arm, walked up to the field. I thought, oh, there go Carson Wentz. Oh, no, that's not Carson Wentz. That's Kyle Trask. So, but Zach Wilson, he's not a skinny guy by any means. He's just not very tall.
You played Bengals 8 years, Ravens 1. I was a fan of Big Ben in his prime. I've heard stories about his lack of commitment for film study, his lack of commitment in the offseason. I was always told the audible system for the Steelers is pretty remedial and simple compared to a Manning or a Brady. So the Steelers re-signed him today for a smaller number. When you didn't have to face him, obviously, with the Bengals or Ravens, you're an offensive player. But what did guys that face Big Ben say? What were his strengths and weaknesses? How is he viewed by players in your division?
I mean, for me personally, and a lot of guys, Big Ben was the boxer that would take one of yours or land one of his. And he would sit in there. He would stare down the face of that rush. He wouldn't flinch. He wouldn't panic. And that's why his receivers they get so many opportunities to get – off-scripted plays and yards because he's willing to take a hit and throw that ball at the last minute. He's willing to scramble around and let his guys get that extra time to get open. I've always had a lot of respect for Ben. I thought he was one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And when you look at it, every receiver that he's played with, every receiver, their number one receiver has always played well when Ben has been the quarterback. And so that says something for me.
Yeah. By the way, free agency is very interesting. So, you know, the old numbers are about 33% of free agents go to a team and it works. It's great. But there's a lot of whiffs. You've seen, are you a fan of free agency for teams? Obviously, for the players, they make more money. It's good for the players. But on the teams you were on, when your teams landed free agents, did they work? Did they not fit? You know, if you don't own the car initially, the odometer could be false, right? You don't know exactly what kind of guy he is. In your history in the NFL, what did you make of free agent acquisitions?
For me, the smart teams, this how I look at it, is this. If you bring in a big-time, high-money free agent, if he's an offensive player, run things that he does well. Don't make him fit into what you want him to do. Go watch the film from what he did well at his previous team. Implement a lot of those things. Talk to him. Okay, when you guys ran this route, when you guys were in this formation, what were you guys looking for? Why'd you run the route this way? If you're a defensive player, put schemes in that he's used to that he can be successful at. See, what happens is these guys have a lot of success and they go to a different team and they do the same thing that they did when they were on the previous team, but that's not how the new team wants it done. And they're like, oh, this guy can't play. Implement what he does well, and I believe you'll see more success rates. But a lot of these coaches in the league, they want it done their way, yeah, and they don't want to compromise, and that's where they go wrong at.
All right. In review, TJ Hushmanzada, who, you know, knows this league, played in Seattle, says if you're going to call out Pete Carroll, you're going to get shipped in Seattle. And the story today, the Seahawks have made calls to other teams about trading Russell Wilson. He's not happy in Seattle. Diana Russini at ESPN tells the Pat McAfee Show. Good stuff. TJ, love seeing you, my man.
Colin, I appreciate it, man. As always, keep up the great work.